T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here we go. We could be watching history tonight in Cleveland, boys and girls. Oh my goodness.
Scoreboard watching. 28. Next one breaks a record.
That's got a chance. There's the record. 29.
30. Did that one get over at the end? Did he get two? Vladimir Guerrero.
To it. Vlad Guerrero playing to the crowd. Oh man. This guy has it.
Down his head.
Started with 29. There goes another one. So he's got 36 in this round with 6 on the clock. There's another one.
36. Okay. That was a line drive.
There it is. Pete Alonso fires the bat up. He's your home run derby champion.
All right, that was the home run derby highlights, by the way. Good morning. Happy Tuesday to everybody. Did you watch the home run derby last night? I actually watched a little bit of it. I'm not normally the guy that sits and watches the home run derby, but, you know, of course, when the home run derby's on, you know there's nothing else on in sports, to a point. I did watch a little tennis earlier that day. Dave Hyde sitting in again this morning with us. Dave Hyde left early yesterday to go cover a pretty cool event up in Delray, right? Is that where it was, Delray?
Yeah, that family, a Paradise Sports Lounge, which is Coco Gauff's dad's sports bar. And
how was the scene? Well, you set the scene for us when you called
in. You walk in at 9:30 and
it's a
packed sports bar.
Yeah, that's weird.
Which tells you it's an unusual. And the interesting part, originally that match was scheduled for 5 a.m. And it would have been interesting to see if anybody showed up beyond family at that point.
It would have had to have been just a family event at that point, right?
But here it was. I'd gone Friday, and evidently they were threatened with a citation for overcrowding. Okay,
now sure. This is Friday. That's a lot of people who show up.
So the family arrives at 8:30 yesterday for a 9:30 not to 10 match, and in case they have to lock the doors for too many people.
That's amazing.
And so food was catered in by a lawyer and city commissioner. You know, people hop on board.
That's it. You have to. It was a great story. Stinks that it ended yesterday. Coco made a great run. When you make it to the quarterfinals of Wimbledon and you're in the kind of Sweet 16 and you're a 15-year-old, you're doing something right.
And, and she lost to Simona Halep, who's just recently number one in the world.
Yeah,
and
she didn't lose to some schlep.
Neat scene. At the end, the fans, the family started a chant, "We're proud of you," and the whole bar. So it was, you know, when you think of what sports is on its good side, there it was right there.
Absolutely. I thought it was a great story. That was pretty cool to see that. I read your article. It was nice to see all the stuff yesterday with Coco Gauff. And like I said, the home run derby was last night. Did you end up – are you like an all-star guy, a home run derby guy?
I'm not. I was at friends for dinner, but I would find something on Netflix. I'm not an all-star guy. No, I mean – but I do have ways we can improve – without even watching at the home run derby, where I might watch.
Okay, I like that. I like that. So we'll have to get into that. That's good. Yeah, it was kind of fun last night. It's weird also because I'm at that threshold in my life. I'm 40 years old, so I'm seeing now a lot of the guys that do have a kid that I used to watch growing up in the majors right now are getting, and Vlad Guerrero Jr.'s son last night. I remember watching him for years in Major League Baseball. The weird swing, he kind of had like the golf swing where he'd pick up anything off the ground. It could be high, it didn't matter where the pitch was. And then watching his son last night, and I'm just thinking to myself, man, I'm getting older, or I just don't know what's going on with these All-Star games, but his kid last night put on one hell of a show. Didn't even win, and he's still kind of the topic from last night also because of that first round. What did he get, 29 home runs?
He had 29 in the first round. Second round, they went to like double, like sudden death thing, and he hit 40 home runs.
Ridiculous. It was so many last night.
And he didn't win.
And he didn't win.
He had like 90. I saw some stat. He had 91 home runs, and Alonso had 57, and yet he didn't win. So
I think he did not win.
Another reason to, like, what?
I think the winner last year didn't even pass 60.
Is that right?
Totally.
Yeah. It was an impressive feat to watch last night, those guys hitting. I didn't realize what the rules were beforehand last night. I guess they got the 4 minutes, and then they get this, and then there was a hit off at the end with three. It was kind of fun, but it's also kind of fun because there is no other sports on for me to watch.
What's more interesting, the NBA All-Star Dunk Contest or the Home Run Contest?
Oh, now it's the Home Run Derby.
Is it?
The dunk contest used to be, I remember growing up, All-Star Weekend for basketball. I'm talking about when I was like 10, 11, 12, when we were really into, like, you know, we're playing basketball like for the, you know, City of Plantation or whatever, and we're getting into it, and it was everything for us. I dribbled basketball up and down my block, you know, just to kind of walk the dog around. It was just that big of a deal. And that dunk contest, when you would have...
It used to be big, but to me, it's the same. I guess that's what I'm saying. To me, the Home Run Derby is the same thing.
Yeah.
It's stale, and
I guess both are pretty stale. The Home Run Derby just has a little bit more excitement because there might be a little bit bigger names in it. Like Vlad Guerrero Jr.
They should make baseball a home run contest. You know, that
that's
talk about
what it's turning into.
To get
Ask
interest.
Justin Verlander what he thinks about that. Yeah. He'll tell you right now he thinks there's juiced baseballs.
Of course, he's a pitcher. But.
Yeah, of course. He hates the fact that there's so many home runs out there. But, yeah, I just think, when you think about the All-Star games for the four major sports, the Pro Bowl is just the worst.
Pro Bowl's great. Oh my God!
Stop the
hitting in that game. It's a beautiful portrait of football.
Used to be the guy that would sit here and argue that I used to watch the whole Pro Bowl.
Now you're the guy who just bets the Pro Bowl.
I'm betting the over. Just betting the over in the Pro Bowl, and hoping there's no defense at all because there usually isn't any defense, but. The Pro Bowl is the worst because guys they should just make it a flag football game. They should just do something, make it like 7-on-7 and just get the best guys out there, and that's fine. That's the worst. Hockey still does a pretty good job with their All-Star Weekend with the skills competition and this and that. Basketball, the dunk contest used to be the best out of all of them. It used to be because you got Jordan out there, Dominique Wilkins out there, or you'd have like the D. Brown slam dunk contest, even Cedric Ceballos when he put the blindfold on. That was kind of fun back in the day. It's just not anymore.
They should have the best non-NBA player dunk contest. You would actually get people interested, like celebrity dunk contest.
That's,
you know,
different, yes.
You would actually get some celebrities who... I'd have to think who
go out there and can dunk. Wow, okay. You know, maybe that can be a little bit of a spark to it because the dunk contest is, I think, at All-Star Weekend now for the NBA.
Bring the rims down and let Drake dunk.
Yeah, do like an 8-foot, you know, slam dunk contest instead of 10.
I think Kevin Hart would win if he dunked.
Kevin Hart
would have
five
would be
foot
like
four
a six
Kevin
and a half
Hart.
Foot rim, you know, for that. I don't know about eight. I don't know if he could dunk on eight. Dunk contest, stale to me. 3-point shootout, probably the most exciting, and that's not even the most exciting thing for the weekend. And then the All-Star game is fun in the fourth quarter when it's a close game and guys actually at that point maybe start playing a little bit better. But the All-Star games are just, they are what they are. It's a showcase of, here's our stars, and they're not going to play that hard. Although the baseball one tonight, it might be a little different, right? Than the Pro Bowl or the NBA All-Star game?
Well, it is different because it's kind of one-on-one. And as much as anything, it matches the true nature of the sport. But
I think just the All-Star weekends in general are boring.
Yeah.
Maybe because I'm older.
I hated him as a kid because it meant 3 days without
without any
baseball.
Sports. Okay, yeah. That's right, yeah, because right now, I think it's tomorrow, by the way, is that day all year long in sports.
Nothing.
It's after the baseball all-star game.
What are we going to do on radio?
We got Wimbledon coverage all day, men's quarterfinals.
This is like the Navy SEAL training of radio when that's nothing's it. Going on. And you,
Dave Hyde, welcome to the week where we're going to talk about the home run derby. I'll tell you what, there's one thing, and we did a lot of talking about it yesterday here on the show. There's one thing that could give us a hot topic. Russell Westbrook traded to the Heat.
They've done it. Or not even traded, but the temptation, the specter of a trade, and it's inching closer, right?
That's it. I mean, we talked about it yesterday in almost – I almost wanted to vomit after the show talking about Russell Westbrook so much because we didn't know what was going on with it. And then all of a sudden a report comes out yesterday that, yeah – he's going to talk with Sam Presti and the agent, and they're going to try to facilitate a trade. It's something both now sides
want. He's pushing
want.
To Miami.
And Miami was the only team in any of the
that
Woj
Adrian
reports.
Adrian Wojnarowski
yes.
reported, and that's huge if you're the Heat. The fact, look at players flexing their muscle. Paul George wanted out of Oklahoma City. Boom. He ends up where he wants. You know, all these players right now, and look in free agency, are being able to muscle their way to their destination. Because if the other teams mentioned Detroit, Minnesota, if Russell Westbrook says, I don't want to be there, and I'll tell everybody I don't want to be
then
there, you do not want to trade for me.
That's right.
He's enough of a high-maintenance guy already. Now you're getting an unhappy Russell Westbrook. That's not something you really want to trade for.
No, I think at this point the Heat have to be the front runners to get Russell Westbrook. And now we go a day after our show yesterday, and we kind of just talked about the possibility of would you want Russell Westbrook down here. I think it's now just going to come down to can the Heat put together something where Oklahoma City budges. Because right before the show started, I said to you, hey, Dave, did you see the tweet that one of these guys sent out yesterday? With all the first-round picks that Oklahoma City has over the next 6 years, two in 2020, two in 2021, 22 they got two, 23 they got two. They've got two every year until 2026. That he can't offer any
this
picks.
This isn't the NFL, though. Those picks are, other than Oklahoma's own pick, because they're going to be bad, The picks from the Clippers, there's only one of value, and that's the Heat's in 2021 because
it's
lottery unprotected.
That's right.
Otherwise, the Clippers are going to be drafting in the last, you know, 5-6 teams in the league because they're going to be very good. And look, we can go down the Heat's picks when they're and the Heat draft as well as anybody.
Yeah.
They just I can't understand why everybody, oh, it's a massive, it's a great haul by Oklahoma. It's not a great haul. There's no value in return.
You know, like Wayne Simmien, the pick that the Heat had when they had like 29 or 28?
Darrell Wright.
Darrell Wright actually wasn't terrible. He wasn't good, though.
Okay, so you get 5 Darrell Wrights for Paul George. Who wins that trade?
Yeah, whoever got Paul George, that's who won that trade.
I'm not completely on board with Russell Westbrook, though.
Okay.
I'm cringing that this trade might be made and understanding at the same time why it would be made.
It's a Pat Riley right now in the moment, superstar dangled in front of you, like me yesterday for 4 hours, shiny object in the corner, top 10 player in the NBA, not worried about what 3 years from now is going to look
like. You were probably on board, as Pat obviously was signing all those guys when they won 33 games in the second half. Like, oh, that's a great, let's get that, let's do that. Right?
I thought the team was good. What I was afraid of was bringing everyone back and thinking this team could be the team for the Heat. Because of the fact I know how the NBA is nowadays, I think, and we saw it like, what, 5 or 6 years ago when Atlanta was like the number one seed in the East, and they had nobody. And I kept saying, I was on the show in the afternoon with Hockman, and I kept telling Hock, what happens when there's 22 seconds left in the game, you're down 3 points, who's going to be the guy? Because if you don't have a star that takes the ball and is the best player on the court or one of the best players on the court, but you got a team of, you know, 6 men out there that are really playing well together. Sometimes there's nothing wrong with that. When you get into the playoffs.
That's good in the regular season.
Yes,
yeah.
When you get into the playoffs, it's different. When you get in the playoffs, you want Paul George, Russell Westbrook, Damian Lillard, LeBron. You want one of these guys
that
could do it.
Well, the Heat do have Jimmy Butler is a guy who
Absolutely.
In Philadelphia, he was their go-to guy at the
end. Yeah, you're right.
So he replaces Dwayne Wade.
But it wasn't enough. You need another guy.
I agree. We can get into this. My question is, are the Heat a contender with Russell Westbrook?
And Jimmy Butler.
And whatever they have to give up.
And they're going to have to give up a decent amount.
I was talking to an NBA scout last night who isn't so sure the Heat are going to have to give up as much as people say, because this contract coming back and Russell Westbrook wanting out and now pushing to Miami.
Yes.
So we'll see. We'll see what exactly it all translates into.
All right, that's Dave Hyde. We will dive into his insider that he talked to last night. And I will pry for any of the names that was given out to Dave Hyde last night, possibility in this trade. It is Tuesday morning. We are talking more about Russell Westbrook like we were yesterday. We'll be back in just a second. Radio.com. Radio.com. All right. So before we went to break, we were talking a lot about Russell Westbrook and... And we got a text during a break that I thought I would just, I just wanted to read to get back into this subject for a second. Someone texted in, by the way, on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line, 56022. Toronto just won the championship with one go-to guy, Kawhi Leonard.
So did Cleveland.
That's right.
Okay, those two one-player guys were the two best in the league. I mean, yeah. Kawhi Leonard. And so, yeah, it can be done.
But not Jimmy Butler.
Yeah.
And not probably Russell Westbrook by himself.
And it's not how you draw it up how to do it. Okay? LeBron, when he came here, he had two other guys, Wade and Bosch.
That's
okay?
Right.
For Kawhi to win, Golden State had to lose two of their top players. If you're going to do the blueprint, you need at least two guys.
Yeah, and that's...
Usually three.
Yes. But now that's the kind of way of the NBA. And now it's more of duos. There's a lot more duos in the league now than there were the big threes around the league. But the whole point of bringing back the Russell Westbrook topic again is the fact that Miami was kind of named yesterday in this article and everything with Woj about Russell now wanting out, and Sam Presti and Russell Westbrook and the agent now trying to facilitate a trade. He might be down in Miami before we know it. And you're not the happiest person in the world if this happens.
I'm wrestling with it because, first of all, I'm curious what you're gonna give up is key to me, because let's go through this.
Okay.
The Russell Westbrook-Paul George tandem in Oklahoma City, two top 15 players.
Sure, yeah.
Very good tandem, and they had good surrounding talent, Steven Adams, Dennis Schroeder was a point guard. They had decent talent around them. They didn't go anywhere.
No.
Right?
No.
I think they were, what, sixth in the West?
Yeah.
Fifth in the West this year? Okay, so do you think Jimmy Butler and Russell Westbrook is better than Paul George and Russell Westbrook?
I don't, because I think that Paul George is a better player than Jimmy Butler, but I also think that if you switch conferences, it gets a little easier, especially when it comes to the playoffs. Because in the Western Conference.
So you're valuing the trade just from the standpoint there's lesser competition in the East.
Yes, yes. Because I think Oklahoma City, that team last season in the East, is probably the 2 seed or the 3 seed.
Okay, so you're making a trade that is going to be your roster for 4 years. There's no way they get out of the Russell Westbrook or the Jimmy Butler.
Once they're on this team,
And first of all, the Heat are under a hard cap, which, it's very boring to talk about, but it's really hard to make deals right now in the heart. And that has to be one of the things that the Heat and Oklahoma City would really have to work around, it's high calculus to me. I don't understand the salary cap.
No, either do I.
But explain to me, very hard to deal. So you're going to handcuff on some point, or this is going to be your team for the next 4 years, and you're the 2 or the 3 seed in the East.
Yeah.
And that's you're okay with that.
Yeah, I am, because that puts you, unfortunately, and I say this with kind of a smirk on my face, and I hope it doesn't happen, but you're sort of one injury away from getting to the NBA Finals for another team.
So that's your game plan.
My game plan is to get as high up as you can
in the
East.
Your game plan is.
And then hope that your team on a given night is better than the next team or something happens where you have the advantage, yes. Because you don't have LeBron anymore. You don't have Kawhi Leonard. You don't have the big three. You'll have Jimmy and Russ. That's your team in the East. And that's probably good enough on a given season maybe to get you to the finals. Depending on what you have to give up. If you got to give up the entire rest of the roster, I don't know what the trade's going to look like. I don't know who's going to be involved in this. I don't know if – is it worth not giving up Bam Adebayo? Is it worth keeping him on the roster not to get Russell Westbrook?
Well, you have to look at who's in the East, too. Look, Philadelphia.
Big guys.
They have Al Horford and Joel Embiid
now. So you need a big guy, yes.
Milwaukee has the Lopez brothers. Not that they're power, but they're big guys. And Giannis is a seven-footer, too.
Sure,
you're going to need big guys. That's valuable to the that you can't give up. And Adebayo is your... To me, he's the young guy with the biggest ceiling.
Okay.
Okay, so there's no way I'm putting him in a deal. I mean, I'd hate to bust up this great Russell Westbrook trick
that might
over
be
him,
it.
But the question is, what leverage does Oklahoma City have? You have Russell Westbrook saying, I want out. Oklahoma, everybody knows they have to trade him. Only a few teams, especially at this point, can take on his contract. And... if Russell Westbrook's saying,
I like Miami.
I don't like you.
Yeah.
And I don't like you.
Yeah, I don't like you, but I do.
Do you force a marriage if you're Minnesota or Detroit?
Here's
the question. What does Russell Westbrook want?
Well,
what does he want?
That's it.
What did Jimmy Butler want coming here? That's what I'm having my heart is wrapping around this in today's NBA world. It used to be you want two things, A, money, and B, a chance to win.
Yes.
Jimmy Butler got less money and far less chance to win by coming to Miami.
You're right. You're right about that.
So what does Russell Westbrook want?
That's a great question, and that's something only one person can answer, and that's him, and we haven't really heard from him at all outside of the fact that he wants out of Oklahoma City, and Miami is the one team I see mentioned in the forefront of this of who could get Russell Westbrook. I don't know. I don't know what Russ wants. I'm assuming he wants to win. I'm assuming Jimmy wants to win.
If he wants to win... His contract signed, so money is off the table. He's going to make a lot of money.
Yes.
Okay. It starts at $38 million this year, goes up to $47 million
in four years. Yep.
Okay. So that's a given. But if he wants to win, the place to demand to be traded is Milwaukee.
Sure. Yeah.
He would go there. Team with Giannis. Giannis top five player in the league. Russell, you know, top
10 guy. Maybe top 12?
Top 10, 15.
Okay.
Okay.
Right,
I mean,
right
5
there.
To 15, depending on how you rank
yes,
it.
Yes,
okay?
That's fine. Not, that's easy. That's okay.
But that would be the place that's ready and equipped to take him on and has no chance to get him a player like him in free agency. Nobody's going to Milwaukee in free agency. So,
no, you're right.
So I'm curious what's Westbrook's thinking and saying he come here other than great organization and great place to live. You know. You're improving your championship hopes, as you said. You know, 2-3 is 4 seed in the East, and with the chance 1 year to leap up.
That 1 year just hits in the next four, and when I mean hits, I mean you draft a guy or pick another guy up that becomes another good player on this team, and it just works. It clicks. Because I looked at Philadelphia's team and Boston's team in the last 2 years, and I said, how are those guys not in the finals? Like, how are they not winning the East because of how good that team looks? It just sometimes doesn't work out.
Well,
I didn't
think
Milwaukee would be the number one best team last year in the entire league. There's no way anyone could have predicted that in the beginning of the season. And that's why I'm thinking it just sometimes works. And if you put these two guys in the East together in the same team, I mean Jimmy and Russell Westbrook, and you're not mortgaging the team, I'm actually – more sold on it now after hearing what you said about the fact and now looking at it in the big perspective of, you're right, the Heat don't have to mortgage all their young guys because Russ wants out. He wants out of Oklahoma City. He's named Miami. It puts Presti in a horrible position of trying to find and leverage a deal for Oklahoma City.
Well, and there's also this. Russell Westbrook has been extremely loyal to Oklahoma City. I mean, 11 years there. He signed contract 2 years ago. Remember, he all the rumors he's going to the Lakers.
That's right.
Going home. And he signed there. He so if you're saying, okay, who's the biggest star in Oklahoma City history? It's Russell Westbrook. They don't want to just destroy that bridge, you know, by sending him or, you know, this is a, yes, they want to leverage. If you're Oklahoma City, they need to get stuff back.
Sure.
But
what can you do?
That's the real question. If you're Sam Presti, what can you, you know, you can't play teams off. Paul George wanted to go to the Clippers. Now there was also, they were talking of sending Russell Westbrook to Toronto.
There was a package with Russell Westbrook and Paul George and Toronto, to Toronto. Yes.
Right, and Toronto's, you know, backed out of that. But, you know, and I haven't heard
surprising
the whole
to me.
It must have been surprising to me. But
they didn't want to give up Siakam. That's what it was. Like, Toronto didn't want to give up Pascal Siakam to get the chance to get Paul George and Russell Westbrook, which to me sounds crazy.
Yeah, to me it sounds like Kawhi Leonard said, I ain't staying to play with Russell Westbrook.
Yeah.
It's something like
probably.
That.
Probably.
You know, yeah. I mean, there's had to be something beyond what we're seeing here.
There has to be, because they, if that rumor was right and Toronto was offered with the chance of them re-signing Kawhi and then picking up Paul George and Russell Westbrook somehow.
Well, knowing your other option is Kawhi Leonard's leaving and you're becoming, you're a deflated
team. You're
going to
be irrelevant, yes. You're going to be irrelevant. That's what Listen, I like Toronto and they got a good roster. When Kawhi was there, they had a pretty good roster, if not the best roster. We saw it, they won the championship. But without him, they're just kind of another team in the East. Like, Siakam's not bringing them the Eastern Conference Championship. Either is Kyle Lowry. But they're going to probably be a playoff team, 6-7-8, somewhere in there. So, yeah.
Oh, they'll be higher than that.
You think they'll be higher than that in the East?
Okay. Right now, they're better than the Heat.
Right now, they're better than the Heat. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't budge on that because I have no idea what to expect from this Heat team this year at
well,
all.
We're not done with the Heat.
No, we don't know. But if they get Russell Westbrook, they're not better than the Heat.
Yes, right. I agree.
Russell Westbrook and Jimmy Butler makes you at minimum the four seed in the East,
sure,
I think. If you're healthy, though, because you also have to put that in perspective. At one point last year, the Lakers were the four seed in the West when LeBron was healthy. LeBron goes down. Obviously, you lose LeBron James, you're not going to be a good team or you're not going to be a great team. And then all of a sudden, they're out of the playoffs. So with Jimmy Butler, you're a playoff team. With Russell Westbrook, you're probably a top four seed. That's the way I look at it. And the way I look at Pat Riley is, Pat Riley is not in the, and we said it yesterday 100 times, the 3 years down the road game. He doesn't play that game.
But he also doesn't play to be the four seed.
You're right about that, too.
So
it's true.
That, to me, is really the issue in team building. You know, Riley, for the most part, since he's been here, he's taken big swings, as we all know.
Sure.
But he's also taken big swings when he can land something definitive. You know, the Shaq or Alonzo Mourning or the big three. Now, there was the era with the Brian Grant and Eddie Jones and all that. That sort of applies here to me.
Okay.
Okay, a good team, you need something else around, a lot more surrounding parts to make it a great team. And a high-maintenance team. It'll be a fun team to watch.
It's
a very high-maintenance team.
It'll be high voltage in those practices and around that roster. All right, let's take a break. We're going to come back and talk more about this because obviously now this topic has gained a little bit of heat overnight with the fact that the Heat are now mentioned. We knew that they were involved. We knew that they were kind of a team in this mix. But now they were mentioned by name. And when that happens, the heat picks up a little bit with that. The steam picks up a little bit with that. So we'll come back. That's Dave Hyde. The Biff's here in this morning as well. Joe Rose and Hollywood out once again. We'll come back. We'll talk more Russell Westbrook.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
All right, I got to get to some text messages because we got to get to the bottom of the fact that I don't think Dave Hyde's drunk this morning, but some of the texters do. So one of the texts that came in this morning, is Dave Hyde crazy? The Raptors team may not be a playoff team. What the hell is Hyde thinking? Is Dave drinking this morning? Atlanta is better right now than Toronto.
Atlanta's better than Toronto.
There is a lot of
remember, they still have Kyle Lowry.
Kyle Lowry's on that team. Siakam's on that
Siakam
team.
Siakam's on that Ibaka's team.
Ibaka's still on that
team. Yeah, they got. So to say they have
Van
no
Vliet
talent,
is on that
I'm
team.
Not saying they're a contender, but they're as high as fourth in the East.
Depending on what happens in the Eastern Conference, and you know, because that bottom half or that four through eight is just kind of a crapshoot
sure,
at this
right.
point. One, like we said yesterday, 1, 2, and 3 in any order, no matter how it ends at the end of the season, I see Boston, Philly, and Milwaukee. You name the order, you name who has a hot streak and becomes the one seed, that's fine. We saw it last year where Milwaukee and Toronto were the two, not just the two best teams in the East, they were the two best teams in the league. Toronto had a home court advantage as the two seed.
Well, in the regular season.
Yeah, in the regular season. That's what I meant, because when you get to the playoffs, you get to the finals, they either one of those two teams would have home court advantage over the Western Conference. I didn't see that coming, where both those teams would be the two best teams regular season-wise in the league.
Atlanta was the best team in the regular season. See, here, the problem to me that the NBA has is the regular season has been so devalued, and players now are taking, you know, 20, 15 games off a year. Whereas, look, you want to talk old school, Michael Jordan played 72 games in the year he played every game, 82 games the year they
won
72.
Yep.
Okay, so that doesn't so as a ticket buying fan, you have a 20% chance of not seeing the guys you want to see.
That pissed me off, by the way.
That
pissed me off.
That's the real problem for the NBA to me. And so okay, but back to the where we are, Toronto. I hate to tell you, I'm not. I wish I was drunk at 6:30 in the morning. Unfortunately, I'm doing a radio show. But yes, they're a playoff team right now.
They are a playoff team. I think Toronto's a playoff team in the East. I don't know if I agree with they're that high up and they could be the four seed, because I just don't know about
these
other teams.
They're as high as the four seed.
As high.
Okay,
so that could happen. I don't know what's going to happen from 4 through 8. You never know who is going to be that team. I didn't think 2 weeks ago that Jimmy Butler would be on the Heat, and look what happened, because they were in salary cap hell, and how Andy Ellisberg and Pat Riley somehow took you from salary cap hell to getting rid of Hassan Whiteside, bringing in Jimmy Butler, and doing what they did. You have to give credit to the Heat, because the Heat don't ever back down. They don't ever sit in the same spot. I like the fact that Pat Riley sort of has ADD when it comes to this team, where I can't stand Pat, no pun intended, because we're just not good. We're not very good. We're not contenders. We're not even a playoff team right now. We need to get better. That's why I'm okay with Russell Westbrook coming here, because it puts you in a position, any kind of position. I don't know if it puts you in a championship position right away, and I don't know if it ever would with those two guys. But
well,
at least,
if it doesn't do it right away, it's not going to.
Yes, if it doesn't happen right in year one, they're both 30.
You know, so
I just want to be in a spot, in a contending spot again, because unfortunately for South Florida fans down here, we're 7-9. Since the big three left, we're just a 7-9 city. We're an 8-8 city. We're picked 13 in every sport in the draft. Hockey, football, basketball. We're just sitting there, and there's no worse spot to be in. I guess there is a worse spot to be in. You could be 0-16 as the Dolphins
for three years.
Here
we go, the Dolphins. Don't say there can't be a worse spot when...
But I'll tell you what. I have more, this might sound crazy, and even with Jimmy Butler on this Heat team, I have more faith that the Dolphins can turn everything around right now than the Heat, because of the fact that the Dolphins have draft picks, they're going to have money, they're going to do whatever they can
to
win.
And how have they done with that in the last 20 years?
Not great.
Okay, so where's your faith?
I don't know. It's a new blind faith regime,
and maybe this regime gets it right.
It's flipping the coin, bringing another person in to make picks, bringing another person in to make personnel decisions. Not having Mike Tannenbaum do it, not having Jeff Ireland do it.
Not having Adam Gase wreck the roster.
Not having Adam Gase sign his own buddies back to the team. Like, I don't know. Maybe there is blind faith in that because it's someone new.
It is blind faith.
And that's what it is.
They have no track record really to speak
you're right.
of, so we'll see. But to me, the Heat do have a track record. It's very good. Now, they made mistakes in the last few years.
In
the NBA, especially when you make a couple mistakes,
you get pushed back.
It's hard to really rebound. And yeah, give the Heat credit for shaking things up.
they had to shake up a stale roster from, if not even from a competitive standpoint, from a marketing standpoint.
Yes.
It's a business. You need to get people excited again. And people are excited that, okay, Butler and now Westbrook comes. There would be some tangible excitement over that pairing. The question would be, from a competitive standpoint for me, do you want to take on Westbrook? Do you want to take on
his style
of game, his contract, his personality? He's a human highlight reel.
He is.
He also, and he's, you know, I guess talking to a scout last night, he's tried to change his game in the last, to share the ball more and all that. So, you know, there's that. But, you know, to me, Eric Spoelstra's job gets changed.
It's harder. No, it's harder. It's different.
Now
it's different.
You know, you got to make allies of your best players.
Yes. Eric Spoelstra's job, and I love the fact that no one gives him any credit for the big three stuff. Oh, he was just, anyone could have coached that team and won championships. I don't believe that. I don't believe that Eric Spoelstra was the mastermind behind all of it, because when you have guys like that, but you also have to have a little bit of
equilibrium.
I guess equilibrium is the word I'm looking for with that, because you do have three of the best players in the world, but you somehow have to manage the rest of the team and those three guys. And Spoelstra did a great job of that for 4 years, of having the team, the number one team in sports for 4 years, you know, in the United States. You did. You had the circus. You were, every place you went, you were the circus show. This is going to be a different job for Eric Spoelstra if they do make this trade for Russell Westbrook. And I guess with that said, also, I need to see what part B of the situation is, of what is also given and what you have left in the cupboard, because they are going to have to give some stuff up. Now, what makes me a little happier about the situation today than yesterday? Yesterday, I was kind of set on, we're giving up all the young assets. We're giving up the Dragic contract. We're bringing in Russ. It's Russ, Jimmy, and who the hell's left on this roster?
It's like we're walking that back now, where maybe they don't need to give up all their young assets, right?
I was okay with it yesterday, giving up all the young assets. If you're telling me this morning when I wake up at 6 a.m. and do the show that it's not all the young assets, and we now have the advantage in this trade because, A, Russ wants out. He's let it be known. It's out there. Woj has reported it. It is now out. Him and his agent and Sam Presti are sitting together now. Well, not probably literally, but they're sitting together in a room and trying to facilitate a trade. And Russell Westbrook has screamed out the name Miami Heat. So that the Miami Heat now have a little bit of the advantage in that. And maybe they didn't yesterday. If you're telling me it's a Dragic, it's a Justice Winslow, and it's a kind of James Johnson type of deal. And we talked about it yesterday, where a couple different scenarios was like, of course you do that to get Russell Westbrook. I think it's a no-brainer now. I know you're taking on a ton of money, and you're probably taking on a pain in the ass when it comes to a player in the locker room. Possibly. But you're also making your team go from irrelevant, outside of the Last Dance with Dwayne Wade, and you're the star you're the show every night, and you're going to be on SportsCenter, win or lose, because Dwayne is being, you know, applauded by another city, to a team where every night you're walking in, where there's going to be an arena in Atlanta, in Boston, in New Jersey, not New Jersey, Brooklyn, that they're coming out to see some of your guys play, and that hasn't been the case. That 41-41 season a couple years ago, where everyone got re-signed because, are they the 31-10 team or the 10-31 team?
Oh, there would be a buzz around the Heat.
There's a buzz around the Heat.
That isn't now. I think, yes, that's definitely the case. But in structuring this deal, Oklahoma City wants either draft picks,
yes,
which the Heat can't trade a draft pick.
Yes.
Or, but they could trade like Hero, okay? Their number one pick this year.
Like
which
an unprotected pick.
Unprotected,
yes,
lottery,
yes, yes,
pick, okay? There's that. You give them Dragic, who's an expiring contract. If or you get a third team, and now we're getting into trade rules probably beyond my knowledge.
Of course, you could
send a number one pick. You know, we were talking earlier, Dragic to Dallas, number one pick to Oklahoma City.
Their pick.
So,
yes.
But again, handcuffing the Heat is as hard up against a hard salary cap. So that I was told don't let that get out of your view here. That makes things a lot more difficult. So
no,
we'll
does.
See what happens.
You have to match what Westbrook will make next year, which is 38.5. You have to send 38.5 out to get that 38.5 back, or you have to be within 10% of it or whatever it is. So you need to get $35 million off your books. to send out there. The only way to do that is to have Gorin's 19 and then find 19 somewhere
else.
Yeah,
and the other problem is Oklahoma City wouldn't want two-year contracts, you wouldn't think. James Johnson, Deion Waiters.
All two-year deals, you're right. You know, even Kelly is a two-year deal.
Kelly
right?
Olynyk, yeah. Those are two-year deals. And so, you know, it would be interesting to see. You would think if this gets done, it gets done quickly.
No, I think so, too. I think if this gets done, I think we're going to be coming in here tomorrow morning or Thursday morning and talking about the fact that Russell Westbrook's now part of this Miami Heat team. I don't think this is 2 weeks from now. I think this is within 24 to 48 hours, Russell Westbrook's in a press conference with a Detroit jersey or a Miami jersey or one of these other jerseys saying, or Houston, which I can't even see that happening, but they have so much salary.
Well, this gets back to me. What does Russell Westbrook want? What is he thinking? Destination? Is he thinking Pat Riley? Is he, you know, they sold him on winning here? I mean, because
remember that word we always use? It's culture.
Culture.
Is he sold on culture? Jimmy hasn't stopped talking about culture.
I think Russell Westbrook is the culture. I'm not sure he's sold on culture.
If that is the case and he is, then we're good with him. If it's not, then yeah, there might be a problem there. Because you see the difference between what we talk about with Jimmy and Russ. Jimmy literally came in here and is saying, Dwayne got me here, Pat Riley got me here, Spoelstra got me here, the city, the way they embrace their players, I want to be part of the culture. I don't know if you're going to hear that from Russ.
I was going to say, you have to believe that with Jimmy Butler, because why else would he could have made $40 more million guaranteed
in Philadelphia.
Maybe he gets that on the backside of the contract, but that was guaranteed in Philadelphia. He had a contending team, maybe the favorite in the East.
He stays, they are.
To in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So he gave up money and winning, guaranteed winning, to come here. So when he says he came here, he wanted to be here because of the organization, et cetera, there's no reason not to believe him, because the two usual reasons people switch teams.
Money
and winning. Aren't here.
He's got his money, and winning isn't necessarily going to happen.
Russell Westbrook, he's going to have his money regardless.
Yes.
That contract signed.
Uh-huh.
Winning, it's more cloudy here than it would be, again, if he wanted to say, hey, I want to be in Milwaukee because I'll team up with Giannis, and we'll have a run. We'll win the East, and we'll contend for a title year after year.
I think if he went to Milwaukee, they would be the favorites to win the title. I think they'd be the favorites to win the championship, not the East. That's because look at Milwaukee last year. You're going to add Russ to that team? I don't know.
I was going to say, there you go. Then you were going LeBron and Anthony Davis.
I know. You're right.
I mean, there's...
The NBA is going to be fun this year. That's the way I look at it. It's going to be fun because it's a little bit... It's not the Golden State-Cleveland Finals.
I don't know it'll be as fun as free agency, though.
No, it's not the regular season. Even Israel said it yesterday. Remember, we put him on the spot. What are the... In order, you have to put what is... NBA free agency, NBA regular season, and the playoffs. And he said playoffs, free agency, regular season. And I think we all think that. And maybe there are some people, honestly, that think it's free agency, playoffs, and regular season. It's definitely possible.
Certainly from the hits on the Sun Sentinel website, free agency is the story of
Ask
bigger,
Ira.
Bigger than games, you know.
Ira. That's it. All right, that's Dave Hyden for Joe Rose today. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in the 7 o'clock hour. Obviously, the Russell Westbrook topic is hot right now. We'll stick on that, too. But also, there's a certain guy out there that is pretty well-known, former coach, that's starting a podcast. We're going to talk about that as well. What a fraud that guy is. We'll talk soon.
Radio.com. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.